I don't know. I think we can get started. We have all sorts of stuff to talk about, don't
oh
we?
Oh my God.
Holy.
Yes.
It's awesome. Just so awesome. Well, you know what? I'm not going to tease it anymore. 5.
4.
4.
3.
2.
And one.
Hello world, hear the song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
Ladies and gentlemen, mesdames, messieurs, bienvenue, welcome to the happy hour.
All right. That's great. Good job, everybody. Welcome to the call. Welcome back to the happy hour. It is officially our what? Do we now have 2 weeks almost of games under our belt? Let's see.
The first game was on a Wednesday.
So then that was the 13th and the 20th was last week. Now it's the 24th. We almost have 2 weeks of games, but in totality, what we actually have done is play a total of 6 games, I believe, all together. And in the culmination of those 6 games with 12 points possible, we came out of it with 10. 10 out of 12 points, a 4-2 record. We are undefeated in regulation, joining the esteemed ranks of the Florida Panthers, the Dallas Stars, and the Washington Capitals. And then the Habs. Incroyable. My name is David O'Jay. I'm at MetalDave02 on Twitter.com. And I'm joined, as always, by Beth.
Hello. I'm at HIVERHUIT on Twitter.
And Veronica.
Yeah. I'm at CHILE underscore Pepper on Twitter.
And we're the happy hour. All over social media now. Twitter at happy hour on twitter.com. Instagram, happy hour pod on Instagram.com. And then YouTube in a randomly generated number of letters and numbers. So to that, I'm going to speak to that for just one moment and promote ourselves. Please subscribe to us on YouTube. We need 100 followers on YouTube to actually claim youtube.com/happy hour. I want to do that. So may all of our esteemed followers and listeners also follow us on YouTube, because it is a worthy endeavor. And you get to see our bright, gorgeous faces whenever you want to. it's a good deal. For free, mind you.
For free.
Who would have thought?
For free.
For free.
Also heard from other listeners that they actually prefer the YouTube to the audio only.
Wow. Yeah.
From more than one.
Man.
Yeah.
How about
so
that?
Subscribe, all those
Generation
you.
Z folks.
And we can keep it up.
Yeah.
Awesome. And if anyone actually noticed, I put in a little bit of an Easter egg in last week's episode that I don't think anyone noticed. We usually have a random sheep come up and awkward moments, because every week there was an awkward moment that I pick out to play the sheep sound. When that happens now, our logo flashes on the screen and then rolls away as if it was never there before. It's a good time.
Oh, cool.
It also takes like a half hour to code into the video, but it's worth it. It's a labor of love. And I love it. Man, the Habs are good.
Yeah.
The Habs are really good, you guys.
It's not like the 2001. Okay, now I'm going to get dates mixed up, because you know what? We had Simon on last week, and we were talking about one of the early hot starts that the Habs had under Misha Tarian. They were 10-0-2, and then Columbus stomped them. And I was like, oh yeah, that was the weekend where Columbus stomped them 2 times in a row. Wrong. Completely different years. Correcting myself on that now. But yeah, 4-0-2, and it's been a humdinger for the Habs, going up against Edmonton to start it off, going up against Vancouver, dropping one decision in a shootout. But it's like, it's been no contest almost practically in most of those games. I think the last game against Vancouver, it was either the last game against Vancouver or the game before that where they went to shootout, where they might have played probably the worst hockey of the season 5 or 6 games into the season, but they came back. One game, the penalty care was atrocious, and my God, I hope we don't get that officiating crew back in any game moving forward.
No.
Because holy crap, that's a whole segment by itself. But one of the games, the Habs had 3 power play goals scored against them. And then the game following that, none. So they corrected, and it actually worked. Anyway, more to that.
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, it's just been, it's been really cool to watch these sort of, all of the new guys, especially, just fitting right in. Tyler Toffoli.
Oh my gosh.
Tyler Toffoli.
When it first was like, when's he gonna do something? And then he did it and did it and did it and did it. Like, holy crap.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Like tonight, tomorrow, and the next day.
Yeah.
Yep.
I have a lot to say about Tyler Toffoli in a bit, actually. But I was going to say that the Habs lead the league in goals for with 29 goals in 6 games. That's almost...
Incroyable. Oh.
Yeah, that's almost 6 goals a game. What?
Who are these guys?
Who are they?
You took the words out of my mouth.
Just crazy. So, like, there's that 18 goals against. But yeah, so so Habs lead the league in goals scored. The game, right? They lead the league in goal differential with Dallas right behind them. Well, Dallas, COVID, they've only played 2 games so far this season. And now Carolina is having games postponed. So American leagues, enjoy it, or teams rather. And then in goals against, the Habs are, let's see, where are the Habs in goals against? They're like middle of the pack with 18 ish.
Yeah.
Wow.
Goaltending so far hasn't been stellar, and it hasn't mattered because of all those goals.
No. And even then, when we say that hasn't been stellar, I mean, geez, let's see what not stellar is for the Habs now.
Well, I mean,
no, I know. I'm curious. Actually,
yeah.
So let me just do a little bit of a rippity rip and do some more rippity rips. yeah, let's do it like that. That there, and blah 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 blah. Yeah. So Carey Price at the moment, with 4 games played, he's playing at an 89%.
Yeah.
Jake Allen, on the other hand, was dealt some easier games apparently, and he's actually doing pretty good. If I recall correctly.
Yeah, he almost got the shutout that one night.
Pricey almost had a shutout another night.
Yeah.
Jake Allen's rocking a 9-0. So they're neck and neck practically. They're off by 1 percentage point.
Yeah.
Mm. That's it. So, yeah.
So they're resting pretty easy because they're getting lots of goal support. I think that our D is looking, there's nothing that I can complain about right now on the team, except for perhaps, the penalty kill on one of those nights, but it's just face-offs could be better.
The what?
Right?
Face-offs.
Winning face-offs?
Oh, yeah. Face-offs could be much better, actually.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
But Dano has taken the kids under his wing, and he calls them his kids. And so, I mean, it's just going to get better, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it's just going to get better all the time. So, as it stands, the Habs are... That's confusing. Wait a second. I don't like that. On one screen, the NHL site is saying that the Habs are in second. On another screen, they're saying that they're actually in third, between us and Toronto, with Las Vegas in the lead. Man, Vegas is undefeated at home. Holy cow.
You mean place overall?
Yeah, they're in first overall in the league. Vegas.
Vegas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever. Anyway, so all three teams in the all three of those teams have 10 points on the season, and the Habs do not play again until Thursday. Yeah, because Thursday. So we have a bit of time to wait, and the Habs can rest. So what's up, Beth?
I've got like a bunch of like confetti, like sprinkles. Like I had to work. I watched the game on Monday. Which you already talked about. And then I had to work. So I've worked every day. So I haven't watched a whole game. I did a bunch of highlights and stuff. It seems like the Habs were learning from a lot of their mistakes, except with Bo Horvat. He scored two of the exact same goal in the same game. Which didn't necessarily hurt them badly, but it could in the future if they don't pay attention to that. So that is something that I hope that they pay attention to next time they face Vancouver, whether or not it's at home or away. Because you don't know what refs you're going to get. You just know that that player is going to be at that spot on the penalty kill or on their power play. The taxi squad spell worked for Kotkaniemi. He was sent down and then brought back up and then he scored his goal. And that happened with Romanov as well. And somebody else.
Corey Perry.
Well, Corey Perry scored. Yes, he was, but somebody else was sent down and then brought back up like for, cap reasons. I forget who, and I think it was Edmondson. Joel Edmondson.
I don't think that's the case. No. I think who are you trying to think of there? Because I don't think Edmondson was sent down.
No.
I don't recall.
But anyway, it worked out again. Like everyone's like, oh, Kotkaniemi just needs to be sent down and then brought back up for the next game, and it'll be fine. And it worked out. So that was really cool, and I'm happy for him. I just am hoping that our Lord and Savior Paul Byron is okay, and I would like for him to score a goal. I have not seen him score a goal since before the COVID shutdown. I've always been at work. So I would like to see that. That'd be fun. But so I think it's really neat that like every skater has at least 1 point. They've had 19 skaters and all of them have at least 1 point so far.
Yeah.
It's really great to see like how this team has grown and changed and become so cohesive so quickly after everything that's happened since March 2020.
That's right.
Absolutely.
We are waiting on goals from Philip Deneau, of all people, Paul Byron, and Brett Kulak. And it is true.
Yeah.
Every Hab on the roster does have a point, excluding
yeah.
those that are strictly taxi squad folks. But, yes.
Yeah.
Corey Perry. I didn't watch Corey Perry a whole lot before he was a Hab. I saw him in one game. And what I did not understand about Corey Perry is that he is a very, very smart player. That guy has a noggin on his head for hockey, and it's something that I did not know he possessed. So there's that. He also scored his
Team Canada, goal. Baby.
Huh?
Team Canada.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't pay attention to Corey Perry on Team Canada.
Yeah.
But, little-known fact, and this is something I'm going to mess up, but he was also captain of Team Canada for one of those years, something I think we mentioned in the past that I was surprised about.
And I was where was Sid? I'm still confused.
Yeah, that was
It was that weird tournament.
It was an IIHF tournament. I think it was the World Cup. And I think it was 2015 or 2016, one of those. It wasn't the Olympics, but it was one of the World Cups where Sidney Crosby did not play for Team Canada. And it was, I mean, they won regardless. But yeah, Corey Perry, captain, Team Canada. And how about that?
Amazing.
So that's crazy. I have to put that out there.
What I wanted to put out there was, remember that game, I think it was the second game against Vancouver, when Jake Allen was just about to get his shutout and Jonathan Drouin coughed up the puck and it wound up in the back of Jake Allen's net. Well, on Saturday, he redeemed himself with one of the most silky smooth goals I've seen anybody score.
Yeah. And that's it's a really interesting thing with Drouin, because we're not hearing a peep about him during games practically ever. Nobody talks about Drouin, but that's really good, apparently, because he is playing like a man possessed. He's playing smart. Yeah. He's playing quietly. And you're right. That goal that he scored on Holtby on that breakaway.
Oof,
holy cow. And that's always a thing I forget. It's like, okay, we're going up against the Canucks. The Habs have been literally ransacking the Canucks for like the past 3 or 4 years. What I think the record in that span is like 10-0-2 or something like that. It's just, it's crazy. It's the longest streak that the Habs have against any team that's in the win column. But now Vancouver has, you know, Braden Holtby, and it's like, that guy's not nothing, you know? So, I mean, the toughest games for the Habs were, well, no. I was going to say the toughest games were against Holtby, but I think that shutout loss was not with Holtby. It was with Demko. You know, Demko is not nothing either, but I don't know. He's not Braden Holtby. So, with all that being said, Tyler Toffoli.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so he came alive. Have loved Tyler Toffoli since like 2013. My ex was a big Kings fan, and so I was like, okay, different conferences, like we can make this work or whatever. And so I would watch the Kings, he would watch the Habs or whatever, and I just fell in love with Tyler Toffoli. He was just always showing up. He was just always there, just like, he was like the M&Ms and trail mix. Like just when you're like, oh man, like I really like, I'm tired of these raisins and peanuts. There's Tyler Toffoli, the M&M showing up, getting a goal, making you happy. He's just a wonderful player, a wonderful person. And he was my, he was like top of my UFA wish list in the off season. And when I got the alert that the Habs signed him, I literally screamed. I was in my room. I screamed. I was so excited. People thought that I was hurt and injured or whatever. I didn't think it was going to happen, because it just seemed like the Habs never really got anybody super big name. And I was so excited to see what Tyler would do with the Habs, and he has not disappointed yet. He has been the M&Ms.
Good.
Absolutely. Hat trick in his first meeting against his old team. Could it be more perfect?
And then 2 goals the next game, and then then some, and the interest on top of that. Tyler Toffoli's exploits earned him the first star of the week in the NHL. That shocked me, because I'm like, I couldn't remember the last time that a Hab actually was honored with that Star of the Week. So I did some digging today about, you know, the mercurial history of Habs being on the Stars of the Week thing. So Tyler Toffoli, first Star of the Week. He joins Joel Pavelski and John Gibson. And then healthcare hero, Virginie Hébert. One of the healthcare workers in Montreal. God bless them.
And his wife is posting adorable photos to Instagram. Yes.
Of him and Dodger, their little
my God.
Dodgers, their dog, not the baseball team.
Yeah. Yeah. Tyler Toffoli just cuddling with the whole baseball team. Imagine. I wonder how much like John Liu like is like, hey, let's talk about our dogs. Like, let's get a play together. Like that picture, his wife. Oh, what is his wife's name? Oh, starts with a C. I feel bad. She posted the picture today of him and Dodger napping. And it was like, I wanted to wake him up and tell him about the first star news, but I couldn't break up what's happening here. What is her name? Cat. Cat Toffoli.
Cat. That's right.
Cat. But it's just, they're just cuddling on the couch, sleeping. And every picture of Dodger is him wearing a little dog Hab shirt. Every single one. It's amazing.
It's pretty awesome.
It is awesome.
She's pretty great. So
they're all in.
The last Hab to receive a Star of the Week was, of course, Carey Price. Well, when was this? 2017 in December, about four-ish years ago, a little more like three in a few months. Yeah. But that was Carey Price with a second star, and he joined Blake Wheeler for first star and Radek Faksa for the Dallas Stars, third Star of the Week that time. Now, I wanted to do a bit more digging because with Carey Price, I'm like, okay, Carey Price is always going to get a Star of the Week at some point. The only other person I can recall getting a Star of the Week was Shea Weber, because I remember that one time that he got like third star for whatever reason. So I did a bit more digging, and I'm going to take a second to actually look
that up.
When
did Shea get a star?
What's that?
When did Shea get a star?
That's exactly what I'm going to look up right now.
So okay.
Shea Weber got a third star. Oh, look at that. He also got that one. So in the 16-17 season, Shea got the third star of the week for October 3rd, and he joined Craig Anderson and Devin Dubnyk. However, Shea Weber was also honored with a Star of the Month, and I think he's the last Hab to get a Star of the Month, actually, because that hasn't happened in a while. So that was October of 2016. Now,
so in his very first month at the Hab.
And he joined Connor McDavid and Jonathan Marchessault in that Star of the Month bit there. So that was Shea Weber when he was, I think, newly minted Hab at the time. Or
yeah, that was his 17th month as a Hab.
Maybe his sophomore year as a Hab.
No, 2016. 2016.
Oh, okay.
That was his first season.
Understood. June. So then I have to go back even further to find when a forward was dubbed a Star of the Week. But it didn't take too much more looking to see in the 15-16 season, the last forward to be named a Star of the Week was Alex Galchenyuk. Third Star of the Week in November of 2015. He joined Jamie Benn and Braden Holtby for that. Now, some interesting things in the 2015-2016, because I love the history behind it. It fascinated me. So, name what goalie in 2015, not named Carey Price, also received two third Stars of the Week during that season?
What goalie?
Yeah. He's a happy hour favorite.
Peter Budak? Mike Condon.
Mike Condon.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Was a third Star of the Week twice in this season.
Because he's amazing.
That is. And then also Andrei Markov was a second Star of the Week during this season.
Oh.
Now, okay, there's another aspect to all this that I had to find out. So who was the last forward before Tyler Toffoli to get a first Star of the Week? And I didn't have to look too much further to find out who that was. Any guesses?
Thomas Plekanec.
Thomas Plekanec was the first Star of the Week in October 2014. And he joined Darcy Kemper and Sidney Crosby that week for Stars of the Week.
Wow.
Yeah. He had a great start in 2014, and he was 31 at the time.
Incredible. Miss that guy.
us. He misses us too.
I know.
Those video of him watching the game on his phone.
Yeah.
Somebody get him a Chromecast so he can cast it to his TV.
Other stars of the week from the Habs in 2014, of course, Carey Price has a number of the second star, third star, first star just in that season. And then David Desharnais, Max Pacioretty, and PK Subban received the third and second star honors in different weeks. Like they each all had their own week in the months of February and March of 2015. Oh, and look at that. 2014, Corey Perry, October, first star of the month.
Look at that.
Look at that. Who would have thunk it? Wow, these were back in the days when the Hamburglar was a guy.
Oh my gosh, I love him. Oh my god. Yep.
I was so sick of hearing about that guy. Oh my god.
I literally swore off hamburgers during the playoff season. And the Habs won. You're welcome.
I love Andrew Hammond. Yeah. I'm sorry. He's so fun. I don't know where
he is now, Andrew Hammond.
He's in Iowa playing in the minors, I believe.
Iowa?
Yes, he got traded to Minnesota or got picked. He got traded or picked up in like free agency. I don't remember which. And he was playing with Minnesota, but he's in the minors with them. The same place that JT Brown was until he recently signed with Sweden.
Sweden.
I believe it's Sweden. But I don't know if he's still playing or not. But his wife is very active on Twitter. I follow her. And they're doing fun family stuff in the snow in Iowa. And they're having a good time. And so they're happy. And that's what matters. If anybody cares about Andrew Hammond as much as I do.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Pretty cool. So a short amount of time.
Speaking of Habs, have we had any kind of update on Yoel Armia, who was concussed the other night by Tyler Myers?
No, we do not. No. Not a word about him.
No.
Assuming that Paul Byron's okay since he played on Saturday.
Saturday. He got less minutes. He only played, 8 minutes?
Something like that. Not sure.
It was very clear that, Claude was giving him some breathing room.
There was a we'll get back to that in a moment, but there was a brief moment of time where Tyler Toffoli was leading the league in points. There have been games played since then, but he was leading the league in points. He has 8 points on the season, and right now, as of this moment, as of this recording, Connor McDavid, Mitch Marner, and Anze Kopitar lead the league with 10 points apiece. I'm going to double check something here. Tyler Toffoli is tied for first in the league for goals scored with Bo Horvat, Travis Konecny, and Mikko Rantanen.
Oh, it's a nice smattering.
Yeah, it's interesting. It is an interesting one. So, Habs have firepower, and actually, another part of this that I should mention is that Jeff Petrie leads the league in defensemen in points.
And he cut his hair again. He was like, I need to be streamlined. He was like, buzz it off, Julie.
There it is. I want to be aerodynamic.
Or maybe he let Boyd do it.
Maybe, yeah. And then Shea Weber is in 20th.
And that's fine.
He's
doing his Shea Weber best. And ask of him.
That's the other thing. The plus minus column.
The worst stat.
Jeff Petrie with a +9 and Joel Edmondson with a +8. They share the number 1 and 2 spots in the league in plus minus.
Good old
followed by
top.
Ethan Bear. I have no idea who Ethan Bear is.
Ethan Bear is on the Edmonton Oilers. He is.
He's named Ethan.
He's an Indigenous player. Bear. I forget which tribe he's from. he's a cool kid. I don't like playing against him because
And then he's Marco Scandella in seventh for plus minus. Look at that.
Aww.
Sorry, I saw the
all
name.
All of our friends. Really excited. All of our friends. It's all good.
Alexander Romanov.
Our friend Simon Salakis one time brought up the plus minus, and I about how it's not it's like people discount it as a stat because it's not really indicative of what he believes in plus minus when you look at it at the end of the season as a team. That's when he believes in plus minus, and you know it'll kind of it should be able to sort of tell a story of what happened over the season, but like player plus minuses, it's just like, I mean, I think they care. I think they care about it as a stat as players myself, but it's just, it's not, it doesn't tell me anything about the player. No. Obviously Jeff Petrie is really good. And Joel Edmondson has been quietly good. I saw him getting dragged a bit online in the first couple of games, but he's been great.
Yeah, and you caught that empty netter
right in the middle of the net.
Yeah, that chuck that he did in Vancouver, like, that's, okay, playing hockey, I can't do that. I can't saucer a puck like they do. I practice and practice and practice, and I can't get any lift. The fact that Edmondson was able to do it, like, practically in Carey's crease, 200 feet across the ice, to land practically dead center in the net. I can't remember the last time I saw somebody do that, except for like a skills competition. And he did it like under pressure. Well, sort of. I mean, he actually had some room and he was like, I'm going to shoot it. And then he did.
Yeah.
And he did. I was thinking he should have gave it the Pricey, but damn, that
one. Yeah. Come on, Carey.
With Edmondson, we're talking about Edmondson and that goal. That goal came out of a great game for him. It was the last game that the Habs played on Saturday. And it comes on the heels of him challenging Tyler Myers to a fight.
Yeah.
Yep.
Definitely winning that fight. And
avenging.
Tyler Myers came out with a minus four for the people that don't care about that stat.
Yeah.
And I love how, like, Jonathan Drouin came out and was like, yeah, nobody knew that Edmondson was going to fight him. He didn't tell anybody. He just took it upon himself to avenge Armia.
Yeah, because that was an atrocious hit on Armia. I understand that a lot of the check marks on hockey Twitter say that, well, the point of contact was the chest.
That's fine. He was a vulnerable player. It was a stupid hit.
I do not agree with this, because the actual NHL player safety nonsense account that they are, it's utter crap. They're saying, well, despite the fact that there was some unavoidable head contact, that's literally, okay, I can't say literally, but that is practically paraphrased from what they said. They acknowledge that there was incidental head contact, but that the point of contact was the chest. But further, they also go on to explain away the fact that Myers, the momentum that he was using caused him to extend his body. So why that's important is that if you're if your body leaves the ice, like if your skates leave the ice into a hit, you know, if it's also like a head contact and whatnot, that's super bad. You know, that's borderline malicious. You're not supposed to do that sort of thing. He did that, and then they explained it away in the rules. And it's just like, how much leeway are you going to give a really crappy hit that ended up, you know, concussing a guy?
Like,
so that the talking heads all say, not the band, check marks, they all say, well, the rule as written states that this is actually an okay hit. Well, they better look at that in the next Board of Governors meeting, because that is absolute trash. Armia was a plus four on that night. Tyler Myers is a trash can, you know, dumpster hockey player.
He's also
absolute crap. If that happened to Austin Matthews, different story as well. I'm positive.
Exactly. He's 100%. 3 inches taller than Armia. Armia was bent over. Myers had to change direction to get to Armia. It was dumb.
It was absolute trash.
It was garbage
from a trash
player. And like the way that they tried to justify it, as you say, David, is really shameful. Particularly because I didn't see it, but I didn't see the video that the NHL player safety put out. But he was obviously concussed. And the refs on the ice made the call.
Yeah.
Bad hit. Yeah. 5 minutes. You're out.
And a match penalty.
And a match penalty. So it's like,
which in the end doesn't mean anything.
No.
They just don't care about players.
2.5 minutes left in the game. And it was like, 7-3?
Yeah.
6-3 at that point. And then power play.
Yeah. So. Yeah. What's the point in him being? It's pointless. It's
well, he was
idiotic.
Armia exposed Tyler Myers on his second goal,
and I mean, like,
and that's what that was about for me.
Like there are ways to, I don't know, just it was a dirty hit.
Yeah,
it was a dirty hit, and the Department of Player silliness drives me crazy.
Yeah,
it's a bad department and it's trash. They want to protect players.
Yeah, garbage.
Well, they have to start with rewriting that rule with all the subsections that protect incidental hits on the head.
Yeah, like that was a vulnerable player. Like some people are like, oh, he needs to keep his head up, blah blah blah, and I'm like, it was absolutely unnecessary. There are a bunch of mitigating factors. It shouldn't have happened the way it happened.
Like, imagine, not to butt in there.
No, you're fine. I'm just being angry.
Recall a Kotkaniemi's hit that got him suspended for a game in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Dangerous hit on the numbers. Now, Myers didn't hit Armia on the numbers, but that hit that he gave Armia was way worse. I think I'd have to recall Kotkaniemi's hit on I completely forget who it was, but
wasn't it a flyer?
I think so.
But it's like Kotkaniemi was suspended for a game. He didn't even concuss the guy.
Yeah,
it's crap
in the playoffs.
In the playoffs. Jesus. Now, all that being said, the officiating in Vancouver was an unmitigated nightmare. It was almost unwatchable for some games. If I can take a second to go into the penalty minutes assigned during these games. Give me a moment here.
I was at work and I was getting alerts on my watch and it was like,
it was just
Habs to the penalty box.
Anarchy.
Habs to the penalty box. Every 5 minutes. I was like, what is happening?
Okay, on Saturday, 3 penalties apiece, but that's after the referees figured out how to do their jobs, I guess. Okay, so, oh my Lord. When a major is assigned, like a major and then a match penalty, it screws around with the allotted power play time given. But for that game where Myers made that hit on the 21st, good Lord, the Habs were given 9 power plays and Vancouver got 5. Vancouver got 26 penalty minutes, but that's of course with the Myers hit. So let's go back to the other game where the Habs got 1 power play and the Canucks got 6. Just crazy. The Habs were given 12 penalty minutes. 12. And it just kept going. I mean, I remember what was I think it was the second period of that first matchup where it was like they couldn't go 5 minutes without a penalty being called on something. Now, yes, the Habs have to be better about, you know, discipline and whatnot, but some of these calls being made were just
refereeing needs an overhaul. And I've been saying this
garbage
for a couple of years. Somebody, and then it goes like where they call a lot of stuff on certain teams and less stuff on other teams. Somebody is going to get hurt and it's going to be really bad.
That's my point. Yeah.
I am afraid that it's going to take that to, for if that's what it's going to take for there to be an overhaul on the refereeing. And I, that makes me very afraid. That's not fair. It's not, a, it's not fair to the players at all. It's not fair that they could incur some sort of life-changing injury, deadly injury, because of the officiating in the sport that they play for a living. Like, yeah, they make a lot of money and whatever, but that, like, money doesn't preclude you from life-altering injuries, in whether you're a professional athlete or not. And the history of the refereeing over the last, we'll say at least 5 years, has been horrible on average, and something has to be different somehow. And I don't know how that's going to happen, because people in charge tend not to listen as much, I guess, to the fans and whatever. And I don't know how much they listen to the players, but at least about these issues, but something has to be different.
Well, there's zero accountability. There's zero accountability on their part. Even when like things are egregiously proven to have been bad calls from every single angle, and things that the rest have right in front of them, things that they choose to ignore because the player had it coming or whatever it is. But it's just like we were talking last week with Simon, or the week prior, we were talking about how they just sort of like orchestrate these games, how they're sort of like a band leader, and they're the ones that are figuring out the way the games are going to go. But so to that point, Jesperi Kotkaniemi a few games ago got a unsportsmanlike
because he got tripped
because he was telling the ref, do your job. And Brendan Gallagher said after that, KK wasn't saying anything worse than I would be saying, but he's going to have a shorter leash than other players who've been in the league for longer. So, like, to teach him a lesson, but they're not going to call it on the other guy. Like, it's just, so there's no, consistency.
Exactly. Like, it's not fit. It's not right that a player who felt that their safety was in question cannot bring that to the attention of the people who are in charge of their safety, because they've only been playing for 2 years or two seasons or whatever, instead of 10. That's ridiculous. Like, if I was felt unsafe at my job, I've only been at my job for a year and a half. If I went to my boss and was like, hey, I don't feel safe because of this, I'm not going to get written up for that. That's nuts. It's nuts.
Yeah. Mind your business.
Yeah. It's crap. Officials are not the people to dictate the game. That is the players. Done. They do not set the tone. They don't set the story of the game.
No.
It's crap.
If you keep tabs on referees as much as is possible, you should follow Scouting the Refs on Twitter. They do a really good job. That's not sponsored. We just really like them. They do a really good job of letting you know who the refs are for every game. And they usually have some stats about their experiences with different teams and their experiences with different leagues as well. So definitely be sure to check them out.
Something curious about Scout the Refs. I think it's at Scouting the Refs.
I think so.
Yeah. Checking myself here. Yep. At Scouting the Refs. They're super interesting because they give a lot of, you know, weird tidbits about refs I never thought to consider. For example, they have they keep track of how many penalties certain referees call in a given period, and some refs like to call penalties in different periods by some interesting variances of a percentage. Now, of course, it's not fair to say, oh, this guy always calls penalties in the third period. But if you look at enough games, say if the guy is refed like 500 games and about 40% of his calls come in the third period, kind of weird.
Yeah.
There's a pattern there that shouldn't be, but what can you say just about, you know, hey, this is happening. Does it correlate to anything? Who knows? That's data science for you. And that's something that many statisticians are not actually good at. Anyway. So I'm really hoping that in the games against Calgary, that it is a brand new reffing tandem, because I do believe that we're kind of playing like mini series against teams, like mm-hmm. every time that we go up against a team.
Yep.
And it's the same reffing team because of COVID and whatnot.
Yep.
So right. There it is.
Yeah.
So kind
because
of
because we don't have to worry about Chris Lee.
I'm yes, so happy. Chris Lee.
I know, that's incredible.
Is reffing in the States. Now we have to worry about every one of the refs that we had in Vancouver.
Yeah.
who the hell were those guys?
I don't know. We'll have to look them up. Voodoo dolls.
God.
But they'll all get sick.
Yeah.
Just like a stomach bug. It'll be fine. Nothing serious.
Yeah, nothing serious.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Habs are good. And we have two games against Calgary. And those are the last games of the month. Essentially, we've got on
Thursday and Saturday.
Friday. And for all the people complaining about late games, these ones are at 7 o'clock for all of the babies on the East Coast.
Not everybody in the world lives in the Eastern time zone. Like,
just that blows my mind, guys.
Like,
who cares?
Drink some coffee fall asleep watching. Like, I watch old games on YouTube all the time when I can't fall asleep. It sounds great. God. Just fall asleep watching the game. It's okay. Nobody's going to be mad at you. It's really fine.
Oh.
I have a few things I want to mention if we still have time.
Yes, we do.
Okay. One, Brendan Gallagher scoring a goal in Vancouver on his mom's birthday.
Yeah.
That was
a good time.
I love how much he loves his mom. Back when they used to do like 24/7 and stuff, they would go visit him at his house in BC and stuff. And there'd be like videos of him like going over to his mom's house to do different things. And he calls his mom by her first name.
Yeah.
Which I love. Her name's Della. And she's a really cool person, but it just like, it's very clear, like how much he loves her.
Della!
So that just made me happy because Brendan Gallagher was my first favorite Hab. And it's just hard not to love him. People who don't love him, I'll pray for you.
I'm going to jump in really quick because not this coming weekend, but next weekend, the Habs are facing off against Ottawa in Ottawa at 1 p.m.
Oh, lunch. You can have a sandwich.
Oh, my God.
I hate it.
Dave, you have to wake up before 3 p.m.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. Jesus. The weekend. What the hell do you think I do on the weekend? I sleep forever.
Skittles and you sleep.
Again, my cough into my closet and I sleep.
You're like Richmond from the IT crowd, which you have never watched. And you
wow. March is a busy month for that.
Yeah, there's a game on my birthday.
There's a game on my birthday too.
Oh, sweet.
Hooray.
Yay.
What about Happy Hour's birthday?
Crazy how busy
what about,
it is.
I don't.
When's our birthday? The 10th of March?
The 10th.
There is a game and it's against Vancouver in Vancouver. So we can just complain about the start time again. Can't
you
wait.
You know what really makes me, just bothers, it really bothers me on Saturday afternoons when either the Leafs are in Vancouver or the Habs are in Vancouver, the local fans have to go to an afternoon game just to appease the fans of the team, the away team.
Right.
Makes me crazy.
Flipping A.
Everybody play in your own time zone.
Oh, my God. So we're going to have some trouble on the Happy Hour in both March and April because there are three games on Mondays in March, and then there are four games every Monday of April has a game. That's a huge problem for our schedule. We're going to have to talk about that later.
Good thing we'll have to figure that out.
Next thing. Carey Price reached 350 wins this weekend. Yes. And he's the fifth youngest goalie to get there. He's like at 33 years and 160 something days. So yay for Carey. He just keeps racking up all these different milestones and achievements. And if you watched Angela Price's Instagram story, last week at some point, Liv was talking about how much she wants her dad to win the Stanley Cup. And she's like, Daddy needs
better.
It. Daddy deserves it. pretty much all he's got left. Like, that's like the last thing on his bucket list. And I know the three of us all really want that for him. And I'm sure all the Habs fans want
that. It's the one he wants the most.
Exactly. Just
it
like
is the most coveted prize in all of hockey.
Yeah.
It's the hardest one to win.
And then he can quit, go to the KHL, and win himself a Gangrene Cup. Wouldn't that be a thing? I wonder how many players have a Gangrene and a Stanley Cup. It can't be that rare.
You should Google it. But imagine, like, I feel like he would just go and he would just grow out his hair, grow out his beard, and just be, like, real scary. Like, he'd be like, Shay, come with me. Like, him and Shay just in the KHL, just tearing it up. Nuts.
He can play with Emelin.
Oh, so, yeah, he could.
Oh, yeah.
And Plecky. There is a new blue jersey available at Tricolor Sports right now. If the reverse retro is not your style, or you already got one, and you want a new jersey, the blue 1909 Habs jersey with the white C and the white stripe on it is now available in the Tricolor store. I have not seen this advertised anywhere. A friend of the podcast, Renee Carl, showed it to me over the weekend because he knew that it was a jersey that I really liked. And so I thought it'd be cool to let everybody know, like, that's a thing. So all the jersey collectors out there,
I have one.
Enjoy spending your money on that. And it's free shipping to the U.S. and Canada if you spend over like $75 Canadian, something like that. So that jersey is well over that. So get free shipping. Mine has already shipped because I did get one. and I ordered it like Saturday or Sunday. I can't remember which. That's there. And then there's only 10 months until Trois-Rivières starts playing in Trois-Rivières in the ECHL.
Yep, the new team for the Habs.
The Habs.
And I think Bergevin's also the president of that team as well. No. So he'll have no.
It is. Or GM, rather. Nope, he's not. It starts. There's a Bergeron that is the vice president. And then where'd it go? Somebody with a W is the president and GM. But it's only gonna be like 90 minutes from Laval. And they haven't sold the naming rights yet for the rink. So it's just called Le Nouveau Coliseum. Okay, Khalees, sorry. Who is that? That's a picture, but they don't tell me your name.
So 10 more months.
10 more months. Mark Waitman is the president of the team. And then Marc-André Bergeron is the VP, and I think the general manager.
Mab? Is he our old Mab?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he used to be the in charge of the Impact.
He used to be our weapon on the power play.
And the Rocket.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah. And they're still voting, or they're still deciding on the name and everything, but they had like a list of ideas, the Le Flambeau, Le Forge, Les Forgerons, Les Lions, Les Verrets, Le Sang, Le Triton, and I don't have to say it in French, but Le 1634. And then Blaine Potvin on Habs Unfiltered said they should be the pocket rockets. Since we have the rocket and
It came out later that Henri Richard did not care for that nickname, so I'm not using it again.
Oh, pocket rocket?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Or people didn't care for it because when we had Dave Stubbs on, he was talking about that and kind of like Henri Richard was his own in his own right. It wasn't like he was the pocket rocket. Like he was his own guy. So when I learned that, I decided to not use it again. So they shouldn't. I disagree.
I think that was just like a silly. Now there's just like one person. So that was just Blaine suggesting it. I think.
Yeah.
That wasn't on the list.
That was just like adding a little context there.
Understood.
Did you find
I'm having a devil of a time finding players that won the Gagarin Cup and the Stanley Cup. I'm like thinking, okay, Ovechkin, he played in Russia for a little bit, but I don't know if he counts for that because during the lockdown season.
Right.
So there's that. I'm thinking, okay, Pavel Datsyuk probably won a cup, probably won both of them, but I can't find.
Dave, there's a whole YouTube video.
Yeah, it says five players, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care about that. I want every player. I don't want something that, you know, Dan in his basement made.
It was made by Odd Man Rush, okay?
I bet his name is Dan Man Rush.
What is the Triple Gold Club?
Where are we at? Okay. And we got a few minutes left. So
who's going to talk? Are you guys just going to look stuff up?
I'm shocked that there isn't like a list of players.
Yeah, that is weird.
What can you do? Wow, that Moscow team is really damn good. Good for them.
I want to pet.
I just wanted to highlight what I mentioned last week with just send a little love out to Claude Julien, who's been he's been doing some really solid, awesome coaching, and now he gets last change starting Thursday for the first time this season. So I've been really happy to see how the players are playing under him, and just in general, like just all these new people that just fit right in. I was prepared to give them a few games. Like, remember how Sherratt last year took him a while to ease in, and I was prepared to give them a few games, and these guys came out firing on all cylinders. And today, I'm wondering how many people have changed their their predictions about the Canadian division. And just today, I heard Pierre Maguire on with Melnick saying that the Habs are the best team in the North Division.
Awesome. So that's not to say that I think the only team that the Habs really have to worry about are the Leafs. So in every meeting with the Leafs going on for the rest of this season, they are the must-beat team. Insofar that the Habs have to crush them every game. No overtime. Granted, we do have to win a game in overtime at some point. But they have to crush them under their boots in the fall.
Yeah.
Crush them. Crush them.
Yeah. Crush them.
That's what I want. I want them to be embarrassed.
Yeah. Humiliated.
In every conceivable way. I want the Leafs to lose to a team that has Joel Edmondson on it. smoke weed. That was such a funny video. I don't know if you guys caught that one.
No.
Someone put that song onto Edmondson's Hail Mary from our zone. And there's just money raining down from the ceiling. And then it switches over to that meme of Edmondson smoking a blunt with a nice guy, whoever, hat on. It's hilarious. I'm going to find it and share it with you guys.
Please do.
Yeah. Edmondson's good. We have 35 seconds left.
Okay. Is Tkachuk going to get crushed in the next game with the Habs?
Yes.
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 I really wonder.
Who's going to crush him?
Everybody. Anderson.
I wonder if Perry's going to be back up too, because Armia's still out.
Oh, yeah. Both Anderson and Armia. Anderson and Perry, they're just going to take turns.
One, two.
Backup goalie. We have Jake Allen. He's amazing.
Good job, everybody.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye.